second Blessed Agnes of Prague, Virgin Second Order, on the eve of the feast of the Holy Virgin and Martyr Agnes. In the year 1205, a daughter was born to the King of Bohemia, Przemyslas Ochtogar the First. She also received the name Agnes in baptism. Her mother, who was an aunt of St. Elizabeth of Hungary, rejoiced when she noticed an admirable seriousness in her infant. At times she saw how the child folded its little hands in the form of a cross, and then, as if absorbed in deep devotion, would lie quite still. According to the custom of the time, the king's daughter was betrothed at the age of 3 years to the son of the Duke of Cilicia, and hence was sent to the Cilician convent of Trebnitz, where St. Hedwig was superior at that time, to be educated there. Her betrothed died after 3 years, and she was then taken to the convent of Doxen in Bohemia, where the seeds of sanctity, which had been seeds sown by St. Hedwig, budded forth in marvelous bloom. The child appeared to be destined for the heavenly spouse rather than for an earthly one, but earthly monarchs renewed their suit for her hand. Emperor Frederick II desired to secure her as the bride of his son and successor to the throne, Henry, and Agnes, who was now a mature young woman, was sent to the court of the German emperor. But when the union with Henry came to naught as a result of the prayers of the Virgin, King Henry III of England sought her hand in marriage. Finally, even Emperor Frederick II himself, whose consort had meanwhile died. All the opposition raised by Agnes, who desired to belong entirely to the divine bridegroom, seemed in vain. Then she begged Pope Gregory IX to intervene. As a result, she obtained her freedom. The emperor declared himself satisfied, since Agnes chose not a human being, but the God of heaven in preference to him. Now, however, Agnes strove to embrace the religious state in order to achieve her union with the divine bridegroom. The fame of the Poor Clare convents had reached Bohemia, and Agnes resolved, with the assistance of her brother, who had meanwhile ascended to the royal throne, to establish a convent of Poor Clares in the capital city of Prague. Pope Gregory cheerfully gave his consent, and at his command, St. Clare sent 5 sisters from the convent of St. Damien in Assisi to Prague. Agnes and 7 other young women of the highest ranks of society entered the new convent together with these sisters. Within a short time, Agnes distinguished herself among them as a model of virtue and fervor and prayer, in obedience and religious discipline, and self-denial and humility. The command of the Pope to accept the position of abbess was a great trial for her humility. However, she obtained permission not to carry the title, but rather to be known as the senior sister. Holy zeal, similar to that of Holy Mother Clare, characterized her vigilance regarding the observance of holy poverty. She declined the royal gifts sent to her by her brother, knowing not to tolerate any sister possess anything of a personal nature. God blessed her with the gift of miracles. She recalled to life the deceased daughter of her brother. Enriched with heavenly merit, she departed from this life in the order of sanctity to enter into eternal union with her divine bridegroom on March 6, 1282, having served him for 40 years in the religious state devoted to her. Devotion to her, which had existed since the time immemorial, received apostolic sanction from Pius IX, and her feast, which had long been celebrated in Prague on March 2nd, has been extended to the entire Franciscan order. The Spouse of Christ, consider how Blessed Agnes treasured the honor of being chosen by Christ as his spouse. She rejected the crowns of emperors and kings. The emperor himself admitted that he could not take it ill of her to prefer the King of Heaven to himself. Indeed, there can be no more honorable union, and every Christian family should consider itself highly honored if one of its members is called to this distinction. To consider that every Christian should, in a certain sense, be a spouse of Christ. By the mouth of the prophet, the Lord says to every soul devoted to him, "And I will betroth you to me in faith," Hosea 2:20. Concerning heaven, to which everyone of us is called, he speaks in terms of the parable of the 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom, Matthew 25. No matter in what state you are living or what your associations are with other people, your soul is a spouse of Christ ever since the day of your baptism, and it must persevere until death in fidelity to him. 3. Consider how easily the glamour, the honors, and the riches of this world delude us and shake our fidelity toward Christ. We are not all so strong as Blessed Agnes was. Hence, we should be on our guard and not direct our glance to this alluring glamour. Rather, we should pray with the psalmist to turn away my eyes that they may not behold vanity. Psalm 118:37. And if the devil endures to lure us, and if he offers all the riches of the world and as a reward for yielding to him, then we should say with Christ, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you adore, and him only shall you serve." Matthew 4:10. Prayer of the Church. O God, who did raise the Virgin Blessed Agnes to the heights of heaven through her contempt of the pleasures of life, and at the royal court and her humble falling of your cross, grant, we beseech you, that by her intercession and imitation we may merit to be partakers of eternal glory, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Agnes of Prague, pray for us.
Thank you.